talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay. Told you we'd be right back.
I wasn't lying to you. KM to AM. We got four more hours, 1 hour down. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Might be your favorite show, might be your least favorite show. Either way, I don't care. I'm here to do the job, right? I'm here to take calls and talk sports and entertain and try and pass this time on a Monday night. So let's get it. 888-808-1019. We started off talking about the Yankees and the Mets. The Mets win, a much-needed win. You can't add a losing streak into this road trip. And I just think it calms people down a little bit, and it goes back to the premise of my open. We got to relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We'll definitely talk about Aaron Rodgers and Hassan Reddick and Braylon Allen. We'll talk about the Jets later. We'll talk about the Giants later. You just heard that clip with Spider telling Daniel Jones, yeah, I'm going to need him to back up. Like, as a quarterback, even when I played quarterback in college, you're not supposed to be in there with those big fellas. One pushed the wrong way. Like, I watched the video. Daniel Jones pushed the guy off. Like, somebody was on Greg Van Roten. And Daniel Jones comes in. Boom. Daniel Jones been lifting. So, Daniel Jones, hey, take it easy, buddy. You're injury prone. You're coming off the ACL. Can't have you getting hurt in a little bit of a scrum. But back to the baseball talk with the Mets and the Yankees. And I had a call about, you know, my favorite moment with the bleacher creatures. I don't really have one. There's just so many. So many games. I think about, you know, things happening. Like, I think opening day 2021, when we had to stay out of the stadium for a year. And then we come back in and it's 10% capacity. It was a weird day. It was a strange day. I remember Zach Hample overheard some of the things coming out of the section. Teoscar Hernandez was actually in left field for the Blue Jays. And my boy Rob the King. That's another thing about the creatures. Everybody's got a nickname. There's a bunch of characters with nicknames, which is great too. But Rob is Dominican, so he is yelling some different things in Espanol and some Dominican insults and other things at Teoscar Hernandez to get his attention. And then Zach Hample goes on Twitter and writes, "All the bleacher creatures are being racist towards Teoscar Hernandez, making fun of his Dominican roots and something like that." And I had to defuse that situation because they weren't going to let Zach Hample exit section 103. They were going to check him a little bit, see what type of time he was on. I remember being in the bleachers against the Blue Jays, I think a year or two before that. It couldn't have been 2021, so maybe it was 2019. And after every roll call, we say, please do not do the wave. We try to send the memo out. The wave stops here. If you see it going around, don't do it. Like, you might get into a fight if you stand up doing the wave. Well, I remember one year we're playing the Blue Jays. It's a tight game. The wave goes around. People are drunk, and they do it. And then right after that, Randall Grichuk hits a homer that lands in the bullpen. And people were upset. They're like, that's because you did the wave. That's because you weren't watching the game. We told you not to do the wave. And yeah, that's how it goes. I'll keep thinking about some more tales from Section 203. And any of the creatures out there, call up with it. Call up with some of these Section 39 stories. Those are the best. Honestly, the OGs, they tell me the stories of the old stadium and what used to go on, and I'm like, yeah, no, this is a different environment now. Out in White Plains, Ronnie, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you? You're so enjoyable to listen to. You really make me feel good, especially when the Yankees are hitting kind of like rock bottom, and you get on the air and you start talking them up. You gave me goosebumps, man. You really did a great job, and thank you for being there for us.
Well, yeah, I know it's a long season. When they were struggling, I knew it wouldn't be forever. Now I'm kind of telling people, wait, we're talking World Series? There's still a ways to go here, but they do have a good team. They do have a lot of talent. It is all right in front of them, like Boone says, but so much has to go right for them to actually get to the Fall Classic. But what do you got, Ronnie?
Absolutely. 2 points. One, I thought it was a little levity to the show. Last week, they showed the center field camera at towards home plate, of course, and the umpire behind them. I don't know what it's called, but it was advertising the Juan Soto figurine doll.
I know where you're going with this.
The way the umpire was standing behind home plate, he was blocking the F-I-G. So it looked like Juan Soto urine. And I'm saying, I know the man's a superstar, but I don't know how many people really want Juan Soto urine. I just thought
people
will
show up.
Funny.
People be in line before the gates open for a Juan Soto urine sample, for sure. For sure. I don't know what they do with
the
it.
Last thing I want to bring up, because I know you have lots going on, is I'm 67 years old. My first Yankee game that I went to, it was 75 cents. It was a doubleheader, and I got a full-fledged Tom Tresh autographed bat. To this day, I still own it. And then when I see the prices of games today, it was unbelievable. But I still got a full-fledged Yankee bat, and I just think it's amazing. And Keith, you do a great job, and thank you for being there for us big Yankee fans.
I got you. Thanks for the call and the compliments, Ronnie. I'm glad, you know, that's what I try to do. When the Yankees are losing and I feel down about it, yeah, I'll come in and be honest and rip them, but then there's light at the end of the tunnel. Until there's not. 888-808-1019 coming up in about 5 minutes or so. Pat Ragazzo will join us to talk Yankees and Mets. Let's keep taking your calls. Let's see. Al in Manhattan, you're on the fan next. What's up, Al?
Yo, Keith McPherson, a.k.a. Mr. Smooth.
Sorry.
What's going on, Keith?
My producer was in my ear. I didn't even catch what you said. Keith McPherson, a.k.a.
Mr. Smooth.
Mr. Smooth. Smooth Jazz.
What's up, Keith? Big fan, brother. I'm an ex-Yankee compatriot there in the Bleacher Creature fans. I was there. Back in the day, I'm in my 60s now, but I feel you, brother.
Appreciate it. It's real, you know.
Hey, Keith.
Yes, sir.
What'd you think about the roll call with Jazzy Jazz?
I was in it.
I lit it up.
The thing about it was that it was Hawaiian shirt night. So people don't understand all of these things. Maybe some people thought we were, you know, paying a tribute to the Bohemian Bomber, him being from the Bahamas. But it was lit. I didn't know what he was going to do. He did the little step back jumper. It goes perfect with his Euro step. We all loved it. We all enjoyed it. And it was a loud roll call for him. It even took some time. I think we at least hit the chant like four times until he actually acknowledged it.
Oh, nice, bro. Well, listen, my only comment is if the Yankees come up against your boys from the L.A. Dodgers, I think it's going to be a tough series.
Oh, man. I would love it. I don't care. Hernandez. I would love it. If it's Yankees-Dodgers World Series and the Yankees lose, I could live with that. Thanks for the call, Al. That is Major League Baseball's dream. That is the dream, to have Yankees-Dodgers World Series. I don't know how long it's going to take to get to that dream, but like that is the moneymaker, box office, casual fans, people who don't care about baseball, showing up to these games, watching these games, and then obviously you have the big names of Ohtani and Judge and Mookie Betts when he comes back, Juan Soto. I mean, we saw a little bit of a preview in Yankee Stadium, but they pulled Juan Soto, so I wouldn't, you know, put too much stock into what we saw in those three games. Teoscar Hernandez was the star of those three games. But yeah, I would love for that to happen. You know, making the World Series, I've said a lot about the Yankees and like them getting back to a World Series in modern day time. Like, yeah, you can go back and watch the 2009 World Series movie and they do have it like, you know, in HD. But this one's going to be HD in your phone. Like you're going to have people's POV firsthand accounts of going to the stadium, being there. There's nothing like that October air when the four train goes by and there's a bunch of fans out there. You smell the popcorn and the hot dogs and you just have that like nervous, anxious feeling like, yo, we can get one tonight. Like the Yankees got to get back. Michael's in Connecticut. Mike, you're next.
Hey, man. First time calling. I'm 19 years old. And I've never seen the likes of the winning you're talking about. I really want to see it. I really want to get my hopes up here.
Oh man, it's special. I mean,
I just think
we're heading there. 19 years old. I'm thinking back, like 15 years ago. God. Yeah, exactly. Go on, Michael.
I just think that you're a little bit discounting of the youngsters and how much they can contribute. I think Luis Gil could be a good playoff starter. I think he's got the mojo for it.
Well, let's talk about Luis Gil. I know they're not going to put a restriction on him, but one thing that we don't necessarily think about or expect or, you know, like, what if he gets hurt? What if he runs out of gas? What if he, as a rookie, is not the same in the ALDS or ALCS because he sees all of the cameras, all of the coverage. Like, whoa, this is a different level. Never pitched on this big of a stage. I can't bank on that young man to be ready for that.
True. Very true. I got to have some hope here. And I really think that him, Dominguez, will be back. Not an if, it's just a when. And then we'll be cruising without Grisham or Verdugo having to be in a lineup.
It's a good way to be, a good way to think, Michael. Thanks for the call. I have a ton of hope, too, because I'll be there. I mean, this is the closest I've ever been to the New York Yankees. I sat in Susan Waldman's seat, called two games this year. I've met everybody now. And I want the Yankees to win the World Series more than anything in sports, get back to a World Series more than anything in sports. I'm just realistic about it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not coming here proclaiming they're a World Series contender. This is a World Series team. Duh, every year. They're supposed to be. But like when I watch the team, I'm like, they're still flawed. And they just passed the trade deadline, which was my last hope that, okay, they'll fill some of the holes. But we told you guys going into it, they had too many holes to fill. So what did they do? They made a couple moves here and there, and they said, what we got is good enough. Let's ride. So, I mean, it is what it is. Let me take one more call here, and then we're going to bring in Pat. Angelo and Carmel, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good, good. Rolling, you know, just talking about the Yankees and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I was at yesterday's game, and it was great. Rain delayed, despite. I went with my boys, and we had a great afternoon, and seeing DJ win it for them was really special, and we really left on a high. But I gotta say, like you were saying about some of the flaws. I mean, they should have had that game won way early on. Yep. I mean, they must have left bases loaded twice.
Stanton, bro.
And Stanton. I mean, the guy looks so off balance, and
it's part of it.
He would come up at these big moments with bases loaded, and it was either a strikeout, a pop up to the infield. And I'm just worried that when this team comes up against a full force Phillies or Dodgers team, I don't know. I don't know if those moments are going to cut it. And I worry about our closer. Like, why didn't we go for Miller or Fairfield or Scott? I mean,
you would have had to give up a top prospect. Again, they're looking down the road. Thanks for the call, Angelo. There's so much of looking down the road. And even in the beginning of the season, they're looking down the road, right? I remember being so mad that Friday night when they lost to the Brewers and they first pitched Michael Tonkin. And why I was mad was for two reasons. Michael Tonkin had got DFA'd by the Mets and the Twins. We didn't know he was going to turn into what he turned into. He arrived with the team. He got with the team. I think he landed at 2 a.m. in Wisconsin or whatever. And then they pitched him that night. And I just thought that that was reckless. You needed to win that game. And then post-game, right, they talk about Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes only threw 10 pitches after not pitching for days. And the way that they justified that was he's already appeared in, I don't know, I think the number was like 27 games. And, you know, we got to preserve him for the end of the year. No, you don't. Win the games that you're in. If that's your closer, he can go more than 10 pitches. Why are you projecting? Why are you talking about October? You don't know where you're going to be in that time. You don't know if Clay Holmes is going to blow 8 saves before the, you know, before that time comes. All right. The time has come for me to bring in my guy, Pat Ragazzo. Man, Pat reached out to me. And real recognize real, we just had a lot in common. He's a Jersey guy. We both live in the same area, Hoboken, Jersey City. And, you know, once I learned his story and how he came up, you know, I just was like, man, this is somebody I'm definitely going to bring into my show. He's a writer. He covers the Mets and the Yankees. He's an actual reporter. I'm not a reporter. This guy writes articles. He's around the team. He's in the clubhouse. And now he's on the Fan. Pat, what up?
What's up, Keith? Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And, that flattering message means a lot, so thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people reach out to me, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny because a lot of young kids just think like, hey, you got any hosting opportunities, or can I join you on the Fan? I'm like, what would that do for the audience? Pat, though, has a lot of insight and covers the team, so let's switch gears a bit. We'll come back around to the Yankees, but let's talk Mets as the Mets win that game, which I think is huge. It's a one-off, but it completes the sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals. I'll give you a couple things that I saw. One, Sean Manaea right now, after coming off his best start, like, can we expect to see more of this out of Sean Manaea? 10 strikeouts, gave up 6 hits, but he went 7 innings. That's great. The tweak in the lineup, dropping Alonso a little bit, putting Tyrone Taylor there, makes Mendoza and Stearns look pretty smart. It worked. And having guys like Tyrone Taylor, like Harrison Bader, when you have a Starling Marte coming back and you have a Jeff McNeil that can also play in the outfield, these are good problems to have. What do you say about all of that and the make it happen Mets?
Well, yeah, I think starting with Manaea, he's now pitched 14 straight scoreless innings, 21 strikeouts, and he's coming off the best start as a Met and then his best start of the season against the Twins, and then followed it up today with a huge, much-needed victory for the Mets, leading them to the path of the W, because they really were kind of coming off a low and then had to go back to the Midwest to play the Cardinals for this one-off makeup game that was postponed in May due to a tornado watch. So this is really what the Mets needed, and Sean Manaea delivered once again for them today as they're fighting for a wild card spot. Obviously, they have fallen out of it a little bit after holding on to a spot for the last couple weeks, but it's going to be interesting here. Now they're fighting it out with the Padres and the Diamondbacks essentially for 2 spots, but the Braves are right there as well. And then, like you said, the lineup changes. Tyrone Taylor has good numbers against righties this year, significantly better numbers against righties than lefties. And that was Mendoza's reasoning for moving him up into the two hole, and it wound up paying off that he had the bases clearing double. But yeah, I mean, you can go back to the end of May when this season kind of turned around. Mendoza and Stearns wound up changing the lineup from having Nimmo in the leadoff spot, wasn't working. He has been the team's leadoff hitter the last couple of years. They moved Lindor to the leadoff spot, and he's been red hot ever since. They've moved Nimmo. Nimmo's been obviously having a good year in the two hole since they moved him there about 2 months ago. But they moved into the three hole today. JD Martinez was back in the cleanup spot, and Alonso was in the number 5 hole, which is a spot he hasn't batted in. He hasn't batted below cleanup since 2020, which was statistically the worst season of his career. I know it was the COVID shortened season, but this Alonso's been having a bit of a rough go this year. So it worked out today, and it was a much needed win for that bizarre one off that they were forced to take to St. Louis, and now they have to go back to now the Rockies to face Colorado at Coors Field. So, yeah, I mean, so far, so good. It's not an easy stretch for the Mets here with the 10 games, 10 days, and 3 different time zones. But, yeah, today was definitely much needed.
Now, I've been telling everybody that the trade deadline is over. There's nothing we can do. Like, that's it. Like, the trade deadline was a week ago. Like, we're still talking about moves that weren't made. Like, just got to move on and move forward. But I actually looked at what David Stearns did, and I said, this guy's good at this. This guy was able to add to this team, you know, adding a Paul Blackburn as a starter, Jesse Winker, right? Didn't even mention him, as I just mentioned, Tyrone Taylor, Harrison Bader, Jeff McNeil, who can go to the outfield. Obviously, Nimmo in the outfield and Marte coming back. But then he also added a bunch of bullpen arms without giving up anything higher than his 17th prospect. Like, I think this is a crafty, smart guy who said, okay, yeah, you know, this team is competitive right now, but I'm not going to give up everything. I don't think that they're elite where, like, I got to go and give up top prospects to get the best of the best. But I can make some marginal moves again like he did in the offseason that could pay off, right? In the offseason, everybody was talking about how, oh, these are lottery tickets. Or really, I said, this is just a long leg parlay. And if all of these legs hit, you're in the money. What do you think about the moves that Stearns made at the deadline and how they'll help the Mets here as they chase this wild card spot? And obviously you saw the Diamondbacks go for it, the Padres go for it, even the Braves add Jorge Soler. What did you think about his deadline?
I think David Stern stayed true to what the offseason blueprint was, and this wasn't going to be an all-in year for the Mets after they operated that way in the previous 2 years before Stearns arrived in the president of baseball operations position. So, yeah, I mean, they did draw interest from a number of their top prospects. Stearns said that they had teams asking multiple times persistently about the availability of their top prospects, including Brett Beatty, who we just learned through Mike Puma of the New York Post that the Marlins were one of the teams that were calling about Brett Beatty, as were other clubs. So the Mets decided that they're not going to give up on Beatty just yet. They're not going to sell the farm. And as you mentioned, the highest prospect they gave up was number 17 in Tyler Stewart, who was a double-A starter. So, yeah, I think it was just all about staying consistent, and that's what the Mets did. And they still were able to stick to that blueprint and then also improve the club with getting Brazoban and bringing in Ryan Stanek, Phil Maton, Jesse Winker, and talking about having a good problem, now having a deeper outfield with Starling Marte progressing towards a return, and Jeff McNeil's been heating up since the second half began. So yeah, the Mets were able to improve around the margins while not selling the farm, and they have a pretty good shot now at pushing for a postseason spot come October.
We're on the phone right now with my guy Pat Ragazzo, straight out of Jersey. He covers the Mets and the Yankees for Sports Illustrated. Pat, next thing I got to say is, looking at this schedule, right, when I came in, I told Mets fans, I told Yankee fans, I told anybody that could hear, we got to chill, we got to pump the brakes, right? Some people proclaimed that the NL wild card was over, then others proclaimed that was a jinx, and now the season is over. But when I look at this Mets team, they've split a bunch of series. They've dropped 2 out of 3 to other teams. It doesn't matter if it's the Angels. It doesn't matter if it's a great team. The only good team that they've dominated this year is the New York Yankees. So when I look at this schedule coming up, I'm like, wait, this is it right here. Obviously, you have the Colorado Rockies. You would like to see them sweep the Rockies, but they didn't even sweep the Rockies in their building. Maybe they only take 2 out of 3. That'll be fine. The Mariners have gone for it, trading for Justin Turner, Randy Arozarena at the deadline. They're not going to be a pushover. But then that next stretch coming up is crucial. I mean, the Oakland Athletics coming to Citi Field, you got to take that series. You got to take the series from the Marlins as well, and you should be in good shape. But let's focus on the road trip here. What do you expect to see them do against a team like the Rockies, which, like, is at the bottom of the league, and then a team like the Mariners, who are right in the hunt to win their division or be a wild card team in the American League?
Now, it is a challenge for the Mets that they started on the West Coast on this road trip. They dropped 2 of 3 to the lowly Angels, which was not how they wanted to start things off. Had to go to the Midwest to make up that game today against the Cardinals and got a big win. And now they have to go back to Colorado and face the Rockies, and as you said, they weren't able to pull off the sweep at home the last time these two teams played. So obviously it's a must win series win in Colorado to at least take 2 of 3, and then you do go to Seattle and you face a Mariners team that was very aggressive at the deadline after squandering away their division lead in the AL West. So I think they need to at least go 3-3 the rest of this trip and then head home. And the schedule does get a little easier when they have to play the Oakland Athletics at Citi Field once they return home, and the Marlins, who are a team who they should take a series from, but they did split coming out of the All-Star break. And the Marlins have been far from a pushover throughout the team's history of this matchup between the Mets and Marlins. The Marlins always give the Mets fits. So it's really just kind of taking it one series at a time, but they do need to probably break at least 500 the rest of this road trip with 6 games remaining between the Mets and Rockies and Mets and Mariners.
You got Severino, Blackburn, Peterson pitching out there in the Rocky Mountains. This is the series where your lineup has to get back to hitting home runs, driving in runs, double-digit hits, double-digit runs. And I think this is a great opportunity to do that before you face the Mariners, who could be tough. Again, this is Pat Ragazzo on with me. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. If you go to my Twitter, I retweeted his tweet. But if you don't want to follow me and go there, just go to @Ragazzo, R-A-G-A-Z-Z-O, R-E-P-O-R-T. Support a Hoboken guy. This next question for you before we transition into the Yankees is about core guys on the team like Jeff McNeil, who everybody was already done with, writing him off, trade him at the deadline. Stearns doesn't do that. I don't think there was much of a market for him with that contract, whatever. But he's made a complete 180, a huge turnaround. And I feel like Pete Alonso can do the same thing. I'm not exactly sure when. Maybe it happens in Colorado. Maybe it happens in Seattle. But how do you feel about these core guys, what they mean to that clubhouse, that organization, And all the talk about trade Pete Alonso, even now people are like, oh, now we're not going to get anything for him. What do you feel about trading Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, now that it didn't happen, and what the prospects are for them in the future this season and next season and beyond with the Mets?
Well, I think if the Mets are going to get to where they want to go this season, it's going to be behind core guys like Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil. And McNeil, we've seen a total 180 from his season. He looked finished. It looked like he was on the verge of getting replaced. Jose Iglesias came up in May, and he's been a huge spark plug for this team. Sauli Marte being on the injured list obviously opened up some playing time in right field for Jeff McNeil. And he's also been continuing to see time at second base as well. So, again, the Mets are going to need McNeil to keep up this hot streak, and Alonso's got to get back on track because this isn't a career norm season for him. He's has an OPS of 790, and for his career, he has an 859 OPS, and he only has 23 home runs after hitting 46 a season ago. He's on pace to finish in the low 30s in home runs, which would be a career low. But he's still Pete Alonso, and there is a strong possibility that he could figure things out. It's really been struggles with hitting with runners in scoring position this year that has hurt him and kind of led to the lineup change today, even though Mendoza spoke and said part of it was due to Tyrone Taylor's numbers against righties and just trying to shake things up a little bit, given the struggles that they've had. Because in the past few weeks, since mid-July, only the Chicago White Sox, who are 60 games under 500, have a worse slash line with runners in scoring position than the Mets. So I think moving forward, Pete Alonso needs to get hot heading into free agency. This is a contract year. He's not having a bad year, but at the same time, he's not having his usual star level season that he puts up with the Mets, where he's hitting over 40 home runs a season and driving in close to 100 RBIs or more, and has the OPS well over 800. So Alonso and McNeil being huge cornerstones for the Mets is super crucial down the stretch. And then in the offseason, McNeil's still under contract for a couple of years. His trade value, even if he finishes strong, maybe it raises his trade value a little bit. But Alonso's made it clear that he wants to stay with the Mets long term. The Mets have indicated that they would like to keep him long term. So, yeah, I think that a strong finish here down the stretch is pivotal for both sides.
Yeah, the way I see it, they're here. They're on your team. They've been here through different iterations of your team. If this is a postseason team, why not just root for these guys? They could come up clutch. They could have big moments down the stretch or in October that are remembered forever. I just think the same thing applies to the Yankees, right? What I said this week after the deadline was, listen, as much as we hate on Gleyber Torres, DJ LeMahieu, Clay Holmes, they play for our team. We have to root for them. We want to see them succeed. I never show up to Yankee Stadium to boo the Yankees. Like, I want them all to be successful. And those are guys also that didn't get traded or didn't, you know, lose their jobs at the trade deadline. They're all still active and playing, but they scare me. There are so many different things with the Yankees that scare me. If you had to put your finger on one weakness or one hole that's going to stop the New York Yankees from getting back to the World Series this year, what do you think that would be?
I think it's two things. We've seen the lineup look very top-heavy this year beyond Judge and Soto. And Giancarlo Stanton made a huge impact out of the cleanup spot leading up until he strained his hamstring in late June. And it was a big loss. And the Yankees have 50 wins when Stanton's in the lineup. But he's kind of yet to get going since he came back from the IL last Monday. But they need his bat. They need the lineup to get production from guys such as Anthony Volpe, who's turned his season back around since the All-Star break ended. And Aaron Boone moved him back down in the order. It seems to have taken some pressure off of him. And Austin Wells has really stepped up offensively since Jose Trevino went down with the calf injury. So, yeah, I think lineup consistency and support to Judge and Soto, as well as bullpen, are going to be the two keys for the Yankees, because Mark Leiter Jr. is one of the best swing and miss relievers in the game, and that's what the Yankees needed. I feel that they probably should have went out and gotten a little more aggressive for maybe another late-inning arm in that bullpen, but time will tell whether it was enough and whether Brian Cashman did enough in a year where there was probably too many holes to fill everything at one deadline. But they did bring guys in like Jazz Chisholm, who's really been a spark as well since they brought him in. And just kind of having that energy and that attitude that he's brought where he's never played third base at the major league level, and he's kind of taken to it. The small sample size, but he's looked pretty natural there so far, and just kind of shown that, hey, even though he's a guy who he's had some level of stardom and success in his career, he's coming to a new team, and he looks like he's gotten with the program, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win. So yeah, I think that just the lineup consistency, and if the Yankees can prove Luis Severino wrong, I know everyone's been talking about that since he took that little shot at his former teammates about the Yankees having two good hitters. That obviously the lineup's going to be big, and the bullpen down the stretch here to see, if the Yankees can make a serious push in October this year.
Yeah, I mean, actually now we have seen DJ LeMahieu, Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, Ben Rice, some other guys contribute, Jazz Chisholm, where it's not just two good hitters. But you know what, man, you made me think of something, and I got to say this before we move on to the last thing. Every single year when we watch the World Series, the team that wins it, they have guys play important roles that they went for at the deadline, whether it was the Rangers realizing they needed starting pitching, so they add Jordan Montgomery and Max Scherzer, and even adding Aroldis Chapman last year. It just always plays like Jorge Soler and Jock Peterson with the Braves, or go back, Ben Zobrist. So with the Yankees, it's either going to be Jazz and Mark Leiter that have huge moments in October, or you're going to be like some of the other teams that come up short and they're kind of kicking themselves for not addressing issues at the deadline, the last chance that they had. Okay, last question. With the Yankees here, something I'm worried about as well, talking about the trade deadline and them not going for it, I'm worried about this rotation. I just don't think they have it. And it's funny because usually the pitching will figure itself out. Usually the pitching is there and the hitting is not. This year with Juan Soto and a Jazz, I think those guys are primetime players. I think they'll be ready. I think Aaron Judge also is just waiting to prove that he can do it in the postseason if they pitch to him. So I'm not as worried about the lineup too, because they have options. Like, they can put a Verdugo on the bench, win the game yesterday. Trent Grisham has had some pop and some clutch moments. DJ coming back around. I think they're going to have enough hitters, especially with Jason Dominguez coming back. But what worries me here, Pat, is that Gerrit Cole is not Gerrit Cole. That Gerrit Cole, I hope he is by October returns, and he's Cy Young Gerrit Cole and looks like he's looked in the past, but like, I literally see them throwing Carlos Rodon because of his contract in the postseason and him melting. Luis Gil is a rookie coming back from Tommy John. Yeah, he's looked, he bounced back from the trouble that he had, but like, how much can you bank on a rookie coming back from Tommy John in October? This is the most he's ever pitched in his life. Marcus Stroman hasn't been good, and Nestor Cortez hasn't been good. Where, like, I don't want to see those guys take the ball in October. Like, the game could be over in the first couple innings. So what do they do? They only have Clark Schmidt coming back to the rotation and maybe calling up Will Warren, but those aren't answers for October either. How do you see this Yankees rotation being able to get them all the way to the World Series and win it? It's just, I don't know. They have to be a lot different than they've been over the last couple months.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, Marcus Stroman struggled more than anyone would have expected in his recent stretch. Last seven starts, he has a 6.82 ERA. And you mentioned Gerrit Cole and the concern there that he missed so much time this year with an elbow injury. It looks like he's still going through a little bit of spring training, and he dealt with fatigue and had to have his last start bumped back to Sunday. And I think it was a promising sign that Cole was able to gut through 5 2/3 on Sunday, only give up 2 runs. He only had the 4 strikeouts, but at the same time gave the Yankees a chance to win, and they wound up pulling out the series victory. So yeah, it's just a matter of, can Cole kind of come into his own and get brought up to speed after missing pretty much half the season? Because again, we talked about the Yankees lineup and the bullpen having to do their part, and guys in the bottom of the Yankees order and contributors having to complement the stars in the lineup. But you're right, the rotation needs to get back on track, because they are going to be relying on guys like Cole, who's their ace, the reigning Cy Young in the AL, and Carlos Rodon, who has the $162 million contract. Now, his last 4 starts have been promising, I would say. I know he's really had a rough go since June, but at the same time, he is a guy with a proven track record and someone who they're paying to be one of their top guys in the rotation. So it's just a matter of, can Garrett Cole get back on track, and can Rodon kind of build off the last four starts or so, and Marcus Stroman re-find his footing down here in the next couple of months? Because you're spot on when you say Luis Gil is a rookie. He's already set his career high in professional innings, and maybe he could be a weapon in the bullpen in come October, because you do have to worry about his innings, because he's a guy who, he's coming off Tommy John surgery, and he's already set his career high, and he's going to continue to shatter that mark down the stretch, because it doesn't seem like there's any plans to take him out of the rotation, because he's all of a sudden, once again, he is probably their best starting pitcher right now in the rotation. So it's just a matter of Cole being Cole, Rodon being Rodon, and Stroman being Stroman, and that's really what the Yankees are going to have to go with, considering they weren't able to pull off a trade for Jack Flaherty at the deadline.
You mean to tell me we got to rely on these guys actually doing what they're paid millions to do? That's all I got, Pat. You're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks a lot for having me, Keith.
888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan, a five-hour KM to AM. Let's get some more reaction, some more calls from Yankee fans and Mets fans before we bring in Dan Duggan at a quarter after nine to talk Giants. And some Jets after that. And whatever you guys want to do once we get to 11 o'clock open mic hour, if you want to talk about Noah Lyles and the Olympics, if you want to talk about a different NFL team, if you want to talk about a different baseball team, whatever you want to do, plenty more to do. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I will be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Rami's like, I don't know this beat either. I gotta take this out of the I gotta take this out of my beat packs. Ah, what's this? You know the rapper Scarlip? Yo, I don't know if you guys know Scarlip, but she has a song called "This Is New York." So I downloaded the beat, but like, it doesn't really sound that great on air. It doesn't fit my KM to AM vibes. And I was just talking to PB for too long. I didn't even realize. I'm like, we're back from break. Let's do it. 15 minutes until my next guest joins us. Keith McPherson on The Fan.
Into a music station for a second there.
What'd you say?
Like, we almost turned into a music station.
How long
for a
was that
there.
Running?
Not that long. Like, they're 20 seconds.
But it definitely gave you like some weird like Halloween type vibes. Her name is Scarlip. She looks like she could be out of a Halloween movie. Bob is in Middletown, New Jersey. Let's get back to talking about the New York Yanks.
How you doing, Keith? Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Thanks for making the call.
I'd like to, if possible, I appreciate your passion as a Yankee fan. I think the problem with the Yankees this year, I hate to say it, is depth. I've been looking at the roster for 09, and there are guys on there, excuse me for a second, that I can't even remember their names. If you remember a guy named Alfredo Aceves, 10-1. 10-1. How about Brian Bruni, 5-0. Of course, David Robertson, Phil Koch, 4-3. Phil Hughes, of course.
Yeah.
He's not even listed as one of the starters, 8-3. Of course, that was one of Moe's later years, but he was 3-3. But of course, I'm probably misspeaking there. I'm sorry. He had an ERA of 1.76. He had a phenomenal year. Let me correct myself. Of course, CC Sabathia. 19-8, AJ Burnett, 13-9, Andy Pettit, you know, just later years, 14-8, Jabba Chamberlain, 9-6. The depth on this team is incredible. And you had, of course, I don't even have to ask you. You remember Cervelli?
Of course,
you know how great
yeah.
He was. I mean, they had so much depth in that team I just don't think, as much as I love the Yankees, you know how much I love them because I've called you in the past. I mean, I just don't think, and I hope I'm wrong. I mean, let's just hope that I'm wrong. But I just don't think that they have the kind of depth. I think they made a huge mistake by not going out and getting another starter.
So Bob, you're 100% correct. And when you talk about the 2009 team, I think about the captain, Doc, where Jeter was talking about, like, when October came, they had been there before. They understood each round by round what needed to be done, the level of focus and intensity to get the job done. I was just speaking about, like, Volpe hasn't played in the postseason yet. Austin Wells hasn't played in the postseason yet, right? These guys, they don't have that experience. Yeah, Glaber and DJ and Judge, those guys have in the past few years and failed. But, like, we're looking at this team now. Jazz Chisholm, I think with the Marlins, they made it once. Soto, we know, is proven from what he did with the Washington Nationals. We're not worried so much about him. But, like, as a group, they are not postseason tested. So when you talk about depth, and you talk about the depth of that Yankees team and the battles that they had been through, yeah, they knew, hey, this could be our last one, and they got it done. And they added guys like Mark Teixeira, A.J. Burnett, Nick Swisher, CeCe Sabathia, guys that had been battle-tested elsewhere but were proven veterans and not washed veterans, not guys that were past their prime. Like, we're going to be potentially relying on guys like DJ to not look old, guys like Stanton to not look like he can't catch up to the pitches. Even if Rizzo comes back, they might be relying on an Anthony Rizzo who's up there in age. And, like, Father Time is undefeated. The game is faster. There's a pitch clock now. These guys are stealing more bases than ever. It's a more athletic game. So when I think about the Yankees getting to the finish line this year, I'm like, there's so many variables that it's like, I don't know. I want to feel confident. I want to believe. I'm rooting for the team. I'm not hating on anybody. But you can't just tell me because the rest of the American League looks weak that the Yankees are a World Series team, that they should get to the World Series. They didn't address some of their own issues at the deadline, and there's a lot riding on hopes and ifs.
Absolutely.
Yes, I mean.
Absolutely. It's true. It's a matter of consistency and depth. You know, you had guys like Harrison, you had guys like the Shelley Duncans, you know, you had different guys. Like, of course, Brett Gardner was a side guy, but he had a decent year. He batted he actually batted .284.
Yeah, they had a lot of guys that contributed that year that got it done. I was just thinking about, I just Googled Jerry Hairston Jr. Like, they have random guys like that had moments, and I look at this team now. Could they do it? Yeah, but like just a couple weeks ago, their depth was Jamai Jones and J.D. Davis.
Yeah, let's listen to these names, Keith. And by the way, you're fantastic. I hope to live the day. You know, next year you're going to be on the morning show because I'm tired of hearing about golf outings. But anyway, I love Boomer.
Those guys aren't going anywhere. They're never changing that show. They're number
Jerry
one.
Harrison,
but thank you,
Eric Hamsky. I mean, from the Blue Jays. I mean, you had guys like if you remember, Eric Hinsky was a big guy, and he could come off the bench and hit the ball a mile, like Balboni. You had guys like from the Cleveland Indians back then, Xavier Nady, and you had Kevin Cash. You had Angel or Angel Barroa. You had all these different guys that they could rely on, but they had the different pieces, and they performed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't look at strikes. They didn't look at third strikes.
And the biggest thing, Bob, they had guys in there with rings. They had guys in there to show them the way round after round. This is what we got to do. This is when you show up to the ballpark. This is the routine. This is how you prepare. This is how you get better in the postseason to have an edge on all. I mean, they played a Phillies team that was super confident because they were coming off winning it. They played a Phillies team that thought, oh, we're going back-to-back. Like, I don't know. I just look at the Yankees this year like, yeah, the American League is weak. It's all right in front of them. But, like, they have to dominate, and I've seen too much of them this year where they've gotten. Like, they were this close to losing to the Toronto Blue Jays. They have lost series. They got swept by the Reds. Like, they still have that in their DNA. They need to show me now. And maybe there is more of an urgency now with, you know, Boone sitting guys or pulling guys from, you know, starting lineup to say, hey, now is the time. No more. Like, we got to lock in. We got to have the right habits And, you know, it all has to be focused on winning for all of us. It's not about hot-dogging. It's not about pouting anymore. It's about doing what it takes to win.
Absolutely. Do you think it would be a good idea, real quick, if they went to a six-man rotation just because of, you know, Cole's injury?
No, and, when Clark comes back, I mean, when Clark comes back, you drop who hasn't been performing, which most likely is going to be Nestor because of what they pay Stroman and what they pay Rodon. And Luis Gil, they're not going to mess with him. I really don't see him being in the bullpen. I think they've added so much to the bullpen and they have so much coming back. I don't think they look at Luis Gil as a bullpen arm at all. I think he's a starter. He's a starter. And Cole, we're just waiting.
He's a great pitcher. He's a great future starter. I just think that either one of two things that need to be done, either go to a six-man rotation, because I don't have much faith in I mean, Stroman's my size. I mean, he's about 5'9". I'm about 5'8", 5'9". But he's a bulldog, and he's been great. But he's wearing down. You can see his velocity's going down. And Cortez, he's really strong at times, but then other times they beat
the times through the lineup. You know, it's like that third time through the lineup, buckle your seatbelts.
Exactly. Yeah. Pound him.
And this type of stuff, right, we still have 2 months to go here. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's gonna slump again. Somebody's gonna be ineffective. Somebody's gonna look old, and I don't know. I don't think that they necessarily have the depth to back it up. We'll see what happens when they call these kids up. Thanks for the call, Bob. Thanks for the compliments. Good conversation. Do you believe in Aaron Boone? As Bob was listing all of those names and all those guys and what they brought to the table, Joe Girardi was able to navigate his lineup, his bullpen, his rotation, make the right decisions in game to put them in position to win. Shout out to Aaron Boone, though. I remember telling you guys, Boone isn't ducking any smoke. And luckily, the Yankees are back now, and they're not losing as much. But tonight, he's doing a live event in the city with the Talking Yanks guys, like meeting fans and out there in the open in the public. I don't know exactly what venue they're having that at, but he was somewhere else a couple weeks ago. I did an event with him before the season. Like, I've got a ton of respect for Aaron Boone as far as, like, he will walk the streets, wear it. He is not afraid to, like, he's not hiding. I'm sure somebody's going to ask him in person, hey, what about that decision with Gleyber Torres? And he's prepared for it. But do you feel like Aaron Boone, who is honestly managing, I think, for his next contract? I know I've said a lot about he's safe. They love him. He's their guy. He's part of this group. But, man, if this group fails, I just don't see how you give him another 3-4 year contract without people literally losing their minds. This radio station, like if the Yankees are a first round exit, which they're going to make the postseason. So for anybody who's talking about they're dead, they're not going to make the postseason. They're making the postseason. Just look at the schedule or lack of schedule, the teams that they have to face. Look at who they have back. Like they're gonna just sleepwalk their way, whether they win the division or not. They're going to sleepwalk their way in October. But do you feel like Aaron Boone is able to put out the lineup, navigate this bullpen against some better teams when we get to October to eventually get them all the way through? I don't know. I really don't know. Fingers crossed. I'll wear my pajamas inside out. I'll say all my prayers and whatever. But, like, I don't know. I haven't seen enough this year to be like, yeah, we're good. But I have no choice but to ride. 888-808-1019. We'll take the rest of your Yankee calls when we come back. And then Dan Duggan, who covers the New York Giants for The Athletic, will join us at 9:15. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.